This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter number 3. Started a brand new series, and I'm going to go through the 3:16 passages of the Bible. Now, ironically, I told you this last week that the chapters and verses of the Bible, they're not inspired. You know that, correct? They're not inspired. They were added by the translators to help us to memorize the Word of God. And by the way, I had somebody come up to me today and quoted some scripture, and they took the sermon to heart last week about memorizing the Bible and quoted some scripture this morning, and we praise the Lord for that, hiding the Word of God in their heart that they might not sin against the Lord. And so the chapters and verses are there for you to find the truth of Scripture and to help you to memorize it. And so there's some great 3:16 passages in the Bible. And we looked at Genesis chapter 3 last week, and today we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 16. Exodus chapter number 3 and in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt." This verse right here is a marvelous verse that surrounds a great chapter of the calling of one of the greatest prophets of God by the name of Moses. Moses is living his life on the backside of the desert for many, many years, and he was living in Egypt, and 40 years later, at 80 years old, God's going to get his attention at a burning bush. And this is the chapter we're going to look at this morning, and we're going to talk about the place of holy ground. And I'm going to have you be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I know this sermon is going to encourage you today. The story has encouraged my heart. The Word of God has encouraged my heart today, and I know that you'll be blessed by it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's anointing upon this service. Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God. Lord, the Bible tells us that your word is like a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We are so grateful, Lord, for this wonderful book. And Lord, we come before you today asking you, Lord, to open up our heart and our mind and help us to focus upon the things of God. This is a wonderful chapter about one of the greatest individuals in the Old Testament, Moses, the man of God. So, Father, I pray that we would learn, Lord, from this example of Moses. Lord, may we learn to stand in your presence, God, on holy ground. May we exalt you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And may, God, we ask you today to lead us and guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, the life of Moses can be basically divided up in 3 40-year periods. Moses lived to be 120 years old, and so his life is divided up in threes. If you're taking notes, the first 40 years of his life, he is in the palace of Pharaoh. You remember the story how his mother had hid him in the bulrush, in a little ark, if you will, and Pharaoh's daughter had found Moses and raised him as her very own. So the first 40 years of his life, he's being trained by the Egyptians. He's being taught the Egyptian way. And for the first 40 years, he's in the palace of Pharaoh. The second 40 years of his life, he's in the plains of the desert. Moses makes a huge mistake. He kills an Egyptian, and for the next 40 years of his life, he's living as a renegade fugitive, and he's living out in the plains of Midian. And for the next 40 years, he's living his life out in there in that desert. The last 40 years of his life is where he is put in the place of God's usefulness. So he is at the palace there in Egypt. He is in the plains of desert, And the last 40 years of his life, God's going to call this extraordinary man to do something amazing. He's going to be as if the savior of the people, in the sense that he rescues the Israelites out of bondage there in Egypt. And when you study Moses' life, the testimony of Scripture concerning Moses, it is incredible. This is one of the greatest prophets and characters in the Old Testament. And the Bible has to say this about him. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God. The Bible calls Moses the man of God. He's God's man for the hour. He's God's leader. The Bible says Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death, Deuteronomy 33 and in verse number 1. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and in verse number 10 reads this, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And so the Bible says here, not only is he Moses the man of God, but the Bible also says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10, that the Lord knew him face to face. This is talking about a sincere, intimate communion with God. Moses walked with God. He talked with God. God used him greatly in many ways to be the deliverer and the teacher of Israel. He'll be the guy that God will give the wonderful Ten Commandments to there on Mount Sinai. And Moses will lead the people of God out of bondage and into the promised land. And he's called the man of God, someone who knew God face to face. Probably the greatest testimony of Moses is found by God himself here in Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 18, where Moses is depicted as the coming of the Messiah. The Bible says, "And I will raise them up a prophet," talking about Jesus, "I'm the Messiah. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren," listen to this, "like unto thee." And if you are in our Wednesday night Bible study, the sermons we went over in Matthew, we found out that Matthew picks up on this very same theme, and he shows that Jesus is the new Moses. In the book of Matthew, just like Moses wrote five books of the Bible, Matthew records for us five sermons of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And he shows that Jesus is the consummate teacher of Israel, that he is the confronting teacher of Israel. He's a communicative teacher of Israel. He's the new Moses. And so in the Old Testament, Moses takes upon this great leadership role that God places him into. And God says, "When I bring my Messiah, when my son comes to the earth, I'm going to rise up a prophet. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. And Moses, he's going to be a lot like you." You talk about a wonderful testimony. The testimony of Moses in the Bible is absolutely incredible. But here's what you need to know. Moses' life is a work in progress. And I want you to know that my life and your life is a work in progress also. If you're here today and you think you have arrived spiritually, I want you to know you are sincerely wrong. You may be sincere, but you are sincerely wrong. You know the song that we used to teach our kids in Sunday school and perhaps still do, "He's Still Working on Me"? Well, I want you to know that that's the theme song of my life. He is still working on me. And God is going to work on Moses this entire 120 years of his life. He doesn't come off to us as some great champion. He doesn't come off to us as a man who is taking a hold of the reins and having great authority and influence within the kingdom. He doesn't come off the scene as the great deliverer, or prophet, or preacher right away. As a matter of fact, he makes a gigantic mistake, and it's the blunder of his life. And God, at the age of 80 years old, he's going to bring about this experience called the burning bush. How many of you ever heard about Moses and the burning bush? Moses and the burning bush. You need to know that this point in his life, listen, at 80 years old, this is the turning point in Moses' life. This is going to be an experience that's going to radically change his life forever, where Moses is literally going to encounter God. I believe with all my heart that all of us in here this morning, we need a sincere encounter with God. We need God to wake us up. Somebody say amen. We need an experience with God. We need God to do something radically within our hearts that's going to change us and transform us for the honor and the glory of Christ. And this is exactly what we have in the life of Moses. This turning point, this burning bush experience radically changes his life. He's standing in front of God. And as God begins to speak to him from this burning bush, Moses realizes that he's standing on holy ground. Now, I'm going to say this morning, and I'll say this again, I'm sure, throughout the sermon. You need to know that the place of holy ground where Moses was at was not the soil that he was standing on. The place of holy ground was in the presence of a sovereign God. And I want you to know that we are standing here today on holy ground. Has nothing to do with 65 Stewart Road. Has nothing to do with our architecture. Has nothing to do with the halls or the carpet in this room. This is not the holy ground I'm talking about. I'm talking about every day in communion with God can be holy ground. Somebody say amen. Though I believe God's presence is here, though I believe this is a house of God, I also believe that every day of my life, as I walk in consciousness of God's presence and God's grace and God's mercy, that in a sense becomes holy ground. Whether I'm at the job, whether you're at the store, whether you're at the ball field, whether you're at the mall, no matter where you're at, walking in consciousness with God, we are standing on holy ground. As a matter of fact, Saturday we went to Walmart, and we were standing on holy ground because Walmart is the savings place, right? Huh? You know, it's a savings place. But we were there at Walmart, and all of you that came out and was a part of that, you did an amazing job. It was wonderful. If you didn't have a chance to come, you need to try to come to the next one. We got out there, we're singing, and there were some families that came over and got some seats on the front row there as our choir was singing, as Melanie was singing, and man, they had their hands lifted up in the air, and they're just praising the Lord. Our folks were fixing hot dogs, and we're passing them out for free, meeting the community, just getting out there and greeting. I want you to know at that moment, even though Walmart is a savings place, we were in the sense of on holy ground. Had nothing to do with the parking lot, had nothing to do with Walmart, had really nothing to do with our music, had everything to do with the presence of God, that God's presence was there, that as we, as the people of God, entered onto that parking lot, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and as we begin to praise of the Lord, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of His people. How many believes that? Say amen. And so here is Moses. He's got this burning bush experience, and it radically transforms his life. But I'm going to ask the question this morning. Where is this place of holy ground? As we look at the text, I want you to see three things this morning that I believe is going to encourage your heart. Number one, holy ground is the place where, number one, the voice of God is heard. If we're going to walk in this God consciousness and we're going to be in a sense on holy ground, you say, Brother David, where is this place of holy ground? Number one, it's the place where God's voice is heard. And chapter 3 and verse number 1 gives us a great indication of that. Verse number 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now you need to know that Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. It would be after that the children of Israel come out of Egypt that for around 11 months, basically 1 year, they will spend time here at Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is a mountain in a mountainous plain. And it's known as Mount Pierre, it's known as Mount Horeb, and even Mount Sinai. And this will be the mountain of God. This is where God is going to give Moses the Ten Commandments. This is where God's people are going to worship. This is where God begins giving his people instructions about how to worship and what to do. And so this place is going to be the presence of God. And this is the mountain of God. And so Moses starts off here in this very plain, in this area, and he's there at Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God, taking care of his father-in-law's flock each and every day. Now, here's what you need to know about verse number 1. Before you pass verse number 1 and go on down to verse number 2, where we begin talking about the burning bush, you need to realize this, that 4 decades has passed in Midian. 4 decades has passed, and not one time has God spoken to Moses. 4 decades is the equivalent of over 14,600 days. 14,609.7 to be exact. Over 14,000 days of his life has passed, and God has not spoken to Moses one time. There's no indication in the Bible, there's no record in the Bible that during this time in Midian that God has even uttered a word. And Moses is not even expecting it. Because at this time in Moses' life, he feels like a failure. He did something tragic years earlier there in Egypt. He's supposed to be the deliverer of God, and I'm sure that his mother trained him in that area. He knew his Hebrew lineage. He knew perhaps the direction of his life, but he let his passion get ahead of him, and as he's seen an Egyptian abusing another Hebrew, he murdered the man. And for the next years of Moses' life, he is running out of Egypt away from that secular power, and he is living in Midian there with his father-in-law. And for the next 40 years, God is silent in the life of Moses. And Moses is not expecting God to say anything. He's feeling like a failure. He's feeling like that he cannot be used of God. And perhaps you're here this morning and you made a big mistake. Maybe it was yesterday. Maybe it was this year. Maybe it was last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And you feel like that you're just living out your days around your Mount Horeb in the same routine over and over and over again, never expecting God to break through the silence and do something in your life and do something in your heart. You feel like that your past is so plagued with problems that God cannot use you. This is exactly where Moses is at. He's in the wilderness, and he feels like that God cannot use him. He feels like he's an unusable vessel, that God will never call on him, that God will never contact him, that he's going to live out the rest of his days there taking care of his father-in-law's flock. He is in the desert. Now, you need to catch this, all right? The day that God is going to speak to Moses through the burning bush, catch this now. The day that God speaks to Moses through the burning bush, it was like all the other 14,609 days of his life. Exactly the same. I'm sure the night before that Moses, he went to bed and he's looking up at the stars of Midian. He gets up that morning and he has his breakfast, he has his coffee, if you will, and he gets up and starts his day. And that day was like every ordinary day within the wilderness. There's absolutely no evidence that God is going to break the silence and talk to Moses. When you read the text, there's no meteor flash across the sky that shows him a sign that God's going to speak to him tomorrow. There's no angel that taps him on the shoulder and says, Moses, wash your face, get yourself together. God is going to speak to you today. There's absolutely no evidence at all. You read the Bible, there is no hints, there's no premonition, there is no signs, there's no wonders to alert him. There's nobody to tell him that God is breaking the silence and wanting to change his life forever. It's just the same old routine. The same routine on Mount Horeb. Let me ask you this morning, what is your Mount Horeb? What is your routine? What do you do every single day? Every day you live your life around your Mount Horeb. It's the routine that you take each and every day, just like Moses. Maybe your routine is that you're fighting through traffic each morning as you drive to work, and that's your routine. Perhaps you're a bus driver, or perhaps you're a rider on the bus. Maybe you're a mom who is picking up her baby out of the crib, and you're caring for your child, holding that child in one arm while getting the other dressed ready for school. Maybe your Mount Horeb is taking a jog every single morning. Maybe your Mount Horeb is getting the big sale for the company. Maybe your Mount Horeb is taking care of individuals, perhaps working in a hospital. Maybe your Mount Horeb is working at a cash register. Maybe your Mount Horeb is stocking a store. And every day, this is your routine. Getting up, eating your breakfast, going around to your Mount Horeb, just living out your existence, living out your routine, and in your daily routine, has it ever occurred to you that God is trying to speak to you? In your Mount Horeb of your daily routine of driving to work, stocking the store, making the big sale, walking down the hallway of the school, raising your family, taking care of your kids, working out in the workplace, has it ever occurred to you that on this ordinary day, it can become an extraordinary day because God is trying to get your attention? Some would say amen. Maybe this ordinary Sunday becomes an extraordinary Sunday, and it becomes a burning bush experience for you, where God breaks the silence and speaks to you and gives you clear direction on what you need to do. I want you to know this morning that God delights in the unexpected. When you read about our God in the Bible, you'll find that God delights in the unexpected and the ordinary. I read in my Bible in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to verse 39. This speaks of the last days, and here's what the Bible says. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Paul picks up on this very same theme in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know what the Bible is saying? That God's going to come one grand and glorious day, and it's going to be an unexpected day. It's going to be an ordinary day. You're going to wake up, and you're going to go to your Mount Horeb. You're going to exercise your routine. You're going to work. You're going to school. You're going to the store. You're stocking the store. You're at the cash register. You're driving the bus. You're doing all the things that you normally do, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody say amen. God comes as a thief in the night and rescues us and takes us out of here. Let me ask you something, friend. Are you ready? You say, oh, this is going to be another ordinary Sunday like all the other Sundays before. I'm going to get up and get dressed, go to the choir and sing. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to do this and that, shake hands with my friend. Listen to Brother David preach, go to the restaurant. It's just another ordinary day. Can I tell you today that I believe on this ordinary day, it could be a burning bush experience for me and a burning bush experience for you where God literally begins to speak to us. Somebody say amen. He may speak to us in Sunday school. He may speak to us while we're singing in the choir. He may speak to us during the sermon, during the altar call, but somewhere God breaks the silence. And around your Mount Horeb, your daily routine, 14,609 days of Moses' life, God says, this ordinary day, this unexpected day, I'm going to go talk to Moses. And Moses' life is going to be radically transformed. You know, watch this in verse 2 and verse 3. Here's what's interesting about this story. It's a great story. Let's look at it, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of the fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. Now, you need to know right away, this is not a strange event. And I believe that the artists who paint this stuff, with this big, gigantic bush, you know, and a flame that looks like it's coming out of the back of a jet rocket, you know, I don't really think it was that way. I think it was a little bitty small bush. There were many bushes that would catch flame within the desert. It wasn't an unnatural thing. If lightning were to strike, if it were to get too hot, it could actually combust. And those dry desert bushes, it wasn't unusual for Moses to see a burning bush. But it wasn't the bush that made the difference. It was the fire. The fire was different from all the other fires. The fires that he had seen before, the bushes consumed. But this bush is not burning. This is a different fire. Can I tell you, friend, this fire here speaks of the presence of the Lord. When God's fire is real and God's fire is evident, you know it from all the other religious wildfires that are out there. These religious wildfires that speak of themselves, that draws attention to themselves, that's narcissistic in many ways. I want you to know God's fire is not that way. If there's fire in the house of God, if there's fire in the pulpit, if there's fire in the singing, it all points to one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Points to him. And so Moses is looking at this, and watch verse 3. It's kind of comical, really. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? You know, really? You know, here is a bush that is not burning, you know, I guess in the DLS version, David Lynn Sampson version, all right, my version, you know, he is saying, what in the world is that? I got to go check this out. And he walks over there, and he's watching this bush burn. It's not consumed. And watch verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You know what I believe about verse 2 and 3? I believe that Moses didn't even realize that the burning bush was from God. He had no idea what was going on. He said, I'm going to turn aside and go over here and check this out. He didn't say, God, is that you? Lord, are you trying to get my attention? You know why? He's not expecting God to use him. He's in his everyday, normal routine, camped out at Mount Horeb. Like all the other 14,000 days before this day, he's going to go through the same identical routine. He's going to work for his father-in-law. He's going to go home at supper time. He's going to be able to clean up. He'll go to bed, and the next day will be the same identical thing. And he is never expecting to hear from God. Therefore, he doesn't see that it's God. Here's the problem. Listen to me now. Some of you are never expecting to hear from God. Therefore, you never see God. And he's all around you. You live your life on Mount Horeb. You go through your daily routine, never expecting that God just might get my attention today. That God takes this circumstance and that circumstance, and it becomes a burning bush experience where God's trying to break through the silence of my heart and get my attention. Moses don't even know what's going on. He's drifted so far away from God's plan over all of these years that he doesn't even realize that it's God. And he's like, I guess I'll go over here and I'll check out and see what's going on. I'm sure God had to smile from heaven and notice God's response in verse number 4. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You know, just like Moses, you're saying, you know, Brother David, I'm a lot like that. I want to hear God's voice. I want this encounter with God. But you're living your life in such a daily routine that you don't have spiritual eyes to see what God's trying to do. And I believe every day in my life and every day in your life, there's a burning bush experience. It could be in the cry of a baby who's wanting attention from its family. It could be in the problems of a family who's going, of your neighbor who's got a financial trouble within their home. It could be a variety of things. It could be in the sad look on the face of a friend. It could be the cry of a child wanting to be loved. It could be the words of a brokenhearted person who come and told you today that their heart is broken, that they're weeping and they're crying. It could be the actions of a frustrated family ready to give up and give out and give in. It could be, as I said, the financial trouble of a neighbor. And in those moments, there is God. God is calling out to you in these circumstances, and he's wanting you to be on mission with him to rescue those who are enslaved by this world and their own emotions. God's going to break through during this burning bush experience and tell Moses, I want you to be on mission with me because there are people that are enslaved and you're going to be the very one to set them free. And every day in your life and my life, there is God. There is God standing in somebody's pain. There is God standing in somebody's circumstance. There is God in the hallway of your school. There is God on the job site. There is God in the traffic jam. There is God here and there. God is everywhere. And God invites me and invites you in this crazy, chaotic world. He invites us to be on mission with him because he wants me and you to rescue somebody who is imprisoned by this old world, the devil. Somebody say amen. There stands God smack dab in front of Moses. Where is this place of holy ground? This place of holy ground is where the voice of God is heard. I'm going to say this again. Listen now. The holy ground that Moses is standing on, which God will tell him later in the text, this holy ground is not the soil. The holy ground becomes holy because of the presence of God, a sovereign God. His voice is being heard. And this morning, I want you to know God's voice can be heard if you will just listen. And you are standing on holy ground. Somebody say amen. Not only do we find that the place of holy ground is where the voice of God is heard, but also verses 4 to verse 11, where the vision of God is revealed. Now, this is great. I want you to see this. If you're a Bible teacher, preacher, you need to mark this down. You don't need to forget this. This will be a good go-to verse for you, a good illustration for you when you're talking about what God does in the life of an individual. Look at verse number 4. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Now, I personally believe that the most important word in that text right there is the word when. You say it's not God, it's not Lord, it's not Moses, it's not here am I. The most important word in verse number 4 is the word when. The word when in the Hebrew means at the same time. It is a reference to verse number 3 where Moses said, I will now turn aside. When Moses said in his heart, I'm going to turn around, when Moses said, I'm going to go in another direction, it was at the same time that Moses turns around and goes towards God that God begins to speak to him. Boy, that's good, somebody say amen. So here's the question, when did God speak to Moses? At the same moment when he turned aside. When Moses stopped his forward motion, when Moses stepped aside from his responsibilities and laid them down for a little while, and when he turned around and he was heading in God's direction, God spoke to Moses. I want you to know today, when God, here's how God's going to speak to you. When you decide to turn around, when you decide to quit following your daily routine, going to your Mount Horeb over and over and over again, when you will stop and turn around and look and see what God may be doing and what God is fashioning and how God is working, it's when Moses turned around that he heard the voice of God. Some of you this morning, your life is so messed up. Your life's like a train wreck. So messed up and turned around. Say, Brother David, how do I get out of the mess that I'm in? You've got to get up on your feet and turn your life around by taking your life and walking towards God. Someone say amen. That first step of faith, I have seen countless of hundreds of people take that very first step. They've gotten out of the pew, and that very first step of going out into the aisle, walking down this aisle, getting at this altar, asking God to save them. Many of the people we baptized today did just that. They heard the voice of God. It was a burning bush experience for them, and they turned themselves around, and they took that first step towards God, and God did something amazing. God broke the silence. And God broke right into their lives. Some of you need to turn around. Some of you need to ask God to help you to take that very first step. I don't know about you, but I think that's great in the text. If that's all I learned this week, then I'm like, God, thank you for that golden nugget. Because it helps me. When I feel like I'm going through my daily routine, and maybe it's been a long time since I've heard God, you know, within my soul, within my spirit, that presence of God within my life, it's going to be an indicator to me from this moment forward that I need to turn around. That I need to go the other direction. I believe that God wants to commune with us each and every day. So listen, if God is silent, if there's not something going on in your life, if you feel no direction from God, why don't you just pause today and say, Lord, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to stop going toward Mount Horeb. I'm not going to do this anymore. I need to turn around and find the voice of God. I want you to know, friend, the voice of God's right here in the Bible that you hold in your hand. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hey, you don't have to walk too far to find the voice of God. You don't have to walk too far to hear the voice of God. All you got to do is turn around. That is, take your attention, your focus on what you're focusing on, your problems, your circumstances, your bad choices, your failures in the past, all those things. You got to turn around. Quit looking at that and turn your face toward the Word of God, and you'll have a burning bush experience. At the same time, Moses turned around is when God spoke and said, Moses. When he turned around, God spoke. Verse 7, verse 9, the purpose of God is expressed. And at verse number 10, the plan of God is explained. As soon as God breaks the silence and Moses turns around, God's purpose is expressed in verse 7 and in verse 9. I love verse 7. Matter of fact, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, moreover, he said, I am the God
of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face from because he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 6 said, I am the God. Verse number 7 says, I have surely seen, I have surely heard, I know thy sorrows. Verse 8, I am come down to deliver. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see that? He says, I am God, I have seen, I have heard, I know your sorrows, and I have come down to deliver you. Can I tell you, that's exactly what happened when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. God says, I am God. I have seen your affliction. I have heard your pain. I know your sorrows. And I have come down from heaven to die on an old rugged cross that you could be saved. Hallelujah to his name. God says, here, Moses, this is my purpose and here's my plan. I have seen, I have heard, I know these things. I have come down, and in verse number 10, I will send thee. I am God, I have seen, I have heard, I have know, I have come down, and now I will send you, Moses, out to do something incredible. You see, the Bible tells us that the holy ground that Moses is on is not only a place where the voice of God is heard and where the vision of God is revealed, but also, last of all, where the victory of God is assured. Look at verse number 12. And the Bible says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. See, that was Sinai. When you bring them out, I want you to come right back over here. Bring them people over here to this desert plain. And here for the next 11 months to a year, if you will, Moses communes with God and the people of God worship God there in Mount Horeb. The Bible says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? When I go down there and tell them all this, what am I going to say? What's your name? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Two things. There's a promise of victory in verse number 12, and then verse 13 and 14, there is the provision of victory. God says, I am. He said, tell them, I am has sent me to you. Literally, I am, Moses, whatever you need. At this moment in your life, I am whatever you need. If you need courage, I am. If you need mercy, I am. If you need rescuing, I am. If you need deliverance, I am. He's saying, go tell them I am whatever they need to get out of bondage, to get out of judgment, to get away from the devil, to get away from the world. I am exactly what they need. And let me tell you this, he's exactly what you need this morning. And you can stand right here in his presence. Casey, go ahead and come to the piano. You can stand here this morning, right here in the presence of a holy God. God says to you, in your Mount Horeb, in your daily routine, the voice of God is crying out to you saying, I am exactly what you need. Tomorrow morning, early in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, my father-in-law, who's been a dedicated man of God for many, many years, pastored the same church for almost 29 years, faithfully preaching the Word of God. I've known him since I was 16 years old, and I can say this today, that the man has never changed. He's always been the same way. He's changed in a good way and not the bad way. He's not a compromiser. He's not corrupt. He's not a coward. He's God's man, and he's always been God's man. Still to this day, I refer to him as Pastor Mike, because he is my pastor. And I've watched him walk through the valley, and I've seen him go on the mountaintop. And tomorrow morning, he's having a quadruple bypass. He's got a small aneurysm. His spleen is a little swelled also. He's got complications. But I can tell you this, God's already reassured me in my heart, David, I am whatever your family needs. If you need comfort tomorrow, I'm going to be your comfort. If you need strength tomorrow, I'm going to be your strength. If you need healing tomorrow, I'm going to be your healing. God says, I am whatever you need. And I can tell you this morning, friend, God's willing to be whatever you need this morning. He says, I am. And we stand in his presence on holy ground. It's not the soil that's holy. It's the presence of a sovereign Savior in our midst. Hallelujah to his name. And what we need today is we need God to give us direction. We need to discern the voice of God. We need to determine the vision of God. And this morning, we need to depart with the victory of God in our lives. That's what the sermon's all about. Discerning God's voice, hearing God's vision, knowing it, and departing today, just like Moses is going to. Standing on holy ground, knowing that God is on his side. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and we're going to have our invitation. You're here today, and you're saying, Brother David, I need God to be this in my life. I need God to be that help. I need God to be that mercy. I need God to be that grace. I need God to be redemption. I need God to be my Savior. Whatever you need today, God says, I am that and much, much more. You say, Preacher, I need you to pray for me this morning. Would you just raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the house. God bless you. God sees your heart. God bless you in their balcony. God bless you, darling. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me this morning. God bless you. I need God to do some things. God bless you. I need a burning bush experience. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Anybody else? Real quickly before we pray, God bless you. God sees your heart, dear. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Brother David, I need God to do something in my life today. I need a burning bush experience. I'm here to tell you, I don't preach a health and wealth gospel that God's going to make you rich and God's going to take away all your problems. God bless you, my friend. God's not that type of God, but I will tell you what he will give you. It may not be physical riches, but he'll give you spiritual blessings and spiritual riches. The joy of the Lord, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the provision of God, the salvation that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Never leave you, never forsake you. Look this way just a moment. This past week, I was in a home, and it's J.W. Kirk's daughter-in-law dying of cancer. Hospice came in, and the Kirks, they've been going through all sorts of crazy stuff. Gary's been in the hospital. J.W. had to go pick him up where his liver's failing to take him to his home to see his dying wife. Both of them in the hospital, both of them doing very bad. I sat there in that home with that family, and I looked her in the eye, and I asked Teresa, I said, do you know the Lord? She said, yes, Brother David, I do. And I told her with all the assurance and the authority within my heart, I said, you know what God said? He will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. Teresa, do you believe that? She said, yes, preacher, I do. And she wanted all the family to come into the bedroom with her. We crowded in that little bitty bedroom. We grabbed hands and we bowed our heads. And in that moment, we were standing on holy ground. Because God's presence was there. We bowed our head and we asked God to give strength and give mercy and to give grace in the days ahead that this family was going to struggle through. I want you to know I believe God's doing just that today for that family. And what he did for Moses, what he did for the Kirk family, he will do for you today. Do you believe that? Say amen. Father in heaven, I pray for my friends, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help them to stand today in your presence on holy ground. Bless in this time of invitation. May people take that first step forward. They've got to turn around. They've got to go in another direction. And the direction's towards this altar, on their face before you, experiencing that burning bush moment. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.